Time to catch up on the week's Spanish news. We're off to Madrid and it's El País offices, of course, and Simon Hunter. Morning, Simon.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good. More importantly, how is Madrid after the weekend's events?
We're recovering. We're getting back to normal. My parents were here over the weekend by coincidence. My dad's actually a Spurs fan. And they left last night on a flight at 10:30 out of Madrid. And my mum texted me from the plane saying, "The plane is full of football supporters." So they're still leaving. I mean, what happened? There was so much demand for all the flights. It's obviously taken people a long time to find flights to get out. So we're all getting back to normal.
But was it like really, really crowded with people?
Well, we weren't here actually. We were at a baptism, so we didn't see it firsthand. But from what I could see, it was incredibly crowded. Yeah, but I have to say that we did run an article earlier on in the week. It was all fairly good-natured. There were a few arrests, a few bits and bobs that happened, which I won't go into now on your family show. But yeah. There were a few incidents, but mostly sort of, you know, a group of supporters outside the stadium tried to steal a video camera off a TV news camera crew, which
excellent.
I thought was brilliant. Now, I wouldn't want to fall back on stereotypes, but I'm thinking that might have been the Scousers rather than the Tottenham fans.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Steal something which is filming you actually stealing it. That's brilliant. Yeah.
Exactly. It was all good natured.
Good. Nice to hear. Right. Okay. Well, it seems like this has been going on forever now, this story. And it seems to be, is he not? And this is the planned exhumation of Franco.
Absolutely. So this was one of the star policies of the Socialist Party Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, who, of course, at the moment is an acting Prime Minister until he's voted back into office in Congress. And pretty much as soon as he came into power last June, this was one of his big plans. It was to move Franco from the Valley of the Fallen, which is the very imposing monument to the Civil War dead out in the northeast of Madrid. And in fact, it was quite funny. Me and Melissa turned around to Melissa recently and said, "What about Franco? What's going on?" And the plan was that he was going to be exhumed on Monday. And, you know, just to get this far, the Spanish government has had to overcome a huge amount of obstacles because Franco has 7 grandchildren who are very much alive and well, very wealthy and willing to put up a very big fight to not see their grandfather moved from his resting place. So they've done all sorts of tricks and kind of come up with all sorts of ploys. They're probably the most interesting one of which was to say, okay, fine, you want to move him out of the Valley of the Fallen, we're going to put him in La Almudena, which is a cathedral right slap bang in the center of Madrid in one of the sort of busiest tourist areas. So obviously that would have been a complete own goal for the Socialist Party government, because to move him from this monument that's, you know, on a hillside 60 kilometers outside of Madrid, only for him to be brought back into the center, would have been pretty much defeating the object. They also wanted him to be reburied with full military honours and all kinds of things like this. So the Socialist government had basically managed to arrange it. You know, they went to talk to the Vatican, and but in the end, they managed to arrange it that wasn't going to happen. He was going to go to El Pardo, which is where his daughter. Oh, no, his wife is buried. Sorry, his daughter, I think, is buried in La Almudena. They'd managed to sort that out by saying basically that it would be a risk. It would be a danger if he was brought into the centre. And so it all looks set to happen. But what the Supreme Court has now done is unanimously rule to freeze the exhumation, to suspend the exhumation until all of the legal cases that the Franco family have brought against this process have been resolved and are completely ruled on and cannot be appealed. And to be honest, you have to kind of say that the Franco family probably do have a point here. They released a statement that said that, you know, no one should have to go through 2 exhumations and then 3 burials of a relative until all of the legal avenues have been exhausted, because that is potentially what could happen. They could exhume him from the Valley of the Fallen, reinter him in in El Pardo. And then because of some court ruling that eventually ends up, you know, giving the Franco family, you know, ruling in favor of the Franco family, he'd have to be taken back to the Valley of the Fallen.
Wow.
So it would be a bit of a farcical situation. So I guess you can kind of understand what the court was thinking, and you can understand, you know, from a purely sort of, you know, human point of view, you can understand the Franco family's point of view on that particular point. So it's all up in the air. So let's see what happens with the new government and where we end up with Franco.
Okay, the story continues then, basically. Next one, very, very sad story.
Yeah, this is a really, really tragic story, and it's been, I mean, it was our most read story by a long way, and it's all about, you know, this phenomenon of, you know, revenge porn and, you know, people sharing videos of exes, and basically what happened is a 32-year-old mother of two from the Madrid region who worked in a an auto factory for the Iveco brand. She took her own life last week after videos of her of a sexual nature were being shared by her co-workers. Basically, the videos from a previous relationship of hers. She was now married, and like I said, she had two very young children. And weirdly, this has actually happened to her before. These videos had kind of been got out and been shared several years ago, but she managed to kind of get on top of the situation in that instance, and stop them from being circulated. But then they kind of reappeared, and it started off with a group of about 20 people at the factory had them. Then that extended to about 200 people in a factory of about 2,500 people. And the news got back to her sister-in-law, who then told the woman's husband, and apparently the story is that they'd had an argument the day before she took her own life. So really, really, really sad story. I think the people at the factory are very, very disturbed by what's happened. I think the people who were involved are saying things like, well, you know, we never thought that it would be something this serious. And I think that's the problem. I think that's a sort of societal issue, that a lot of people just think that this is something funny and something, you know, all a bit of a joke. But obviously in this case, it's had really tragic consequences. On the other side of it, there's going to be various investigations now. The police have spoken to a previous boyfriend of hers, actually turned up at the police station, took his mobile phone and said, look, you know, I've got nothing to hide, because from what it looks like so far from the investigation, it looks like it wasn't actually anything to do with him. But because of course he'd been this woman's partner previously, a lot of suspicion was falling on him. So the police are looking into someone else who actually works at the factory. And also there's an issue with the company itself, because she went to human resources with this issue, and they turned her away and said, no, this is a personal matter, offered, you know, yeah, we couldn't, you know, switch you around in your job, put you on another section. And basically the unions are saying that that wasn't enough, that the company didn't do enough. And then of course there's a data protection issue, so you know what the people that shared the video might possibly be facing charges, and obviously the person who shared the video in the first place, that's the person who's going to have a real problem if and when they work out who it is. So it's kind of ties into all of the you know, this massive feminism movement that we've seen over the last couple of years in Spain. It's stories like this that make you realize, you know, that's why that movement has resurged so much, and this is the kind of thing that they're working to towards eliminating.
Tragic story. A sign of our times, SIM swap fraud. Now this may not be obvious to some people, so can we, what's SIM swap fraud?
Yeah, this is an incredible story. So watch out for this sort of thing. This is kind of tied up with, you know, various different methods of getting your personal information, the most famous of which is phishing, the PH phishing, where people send you, you know, fake emails that look authentic from your bank, or even, you know, you could be thinking that you're logging into your email account and it's actually a fake page whereby hackers manage to get hold of your passwords. And if you combine this with what this scam is, which is basically where someone manages to go into a mobile phone store and say, hey, I've lost my phone, I need a duplicate SIM card. And the shop, for whatever reason, hands out that SIM card. And then, of course, what you can start to do is all sorts of banking operations, because I think most people now have their bank accounts set up so that if you ever want to do some kind of operation, you want to do a transfer, take out a loan, or they'll send you a text message with a code, and you just have to put that code into your bank account. So this poor guy, the article that we've covered, this guy who didn't want to give his own real name, he called himself Mario Fernandez. He just one day his cell phone signal failed. So he called his operator because he couldn't get the phone to work, and they told him that he had asked for a duplicate of his SIM card in another city. So then he kind of realized that something might be going on. He checked his bank account to find out that it was blocked. Several thousand euros were missing from his account, and a loan for another 50,000 euros had been applied for. Poor old Mario went absolutely mad. He had to go to the emergency room for them to give him a sedative to calm down. Now, this isn't something that happens a huge amount, but the civil guard says that they have seen a significant increase in cases recently. So they advise, obviously, you be very careful with things like phishing, but also fraudulent apps that can take information from your smartphone, and also false Wi-Fi signals. If you connect to open Wi-Fi, you need to be really careful about that. Careful what you download onto your phone. But I mean, you know, this was, in this case, it was Vodafone. Vodafone said that they have a really strict protocol when it comes to handing over new SIM cards.
Well, so clearly not.
Well, yeah, not in this case.
No.
They won't do it without ID. But obviously, if someone does manage to... I mean, this happened to my wife. Someone stole my wife's DNI, her Spanish national identity card, and they managed to pass themselves off as my wife, go into various bank branches, clean out our accounts, make use of an overdraft facility that we didn't even know that we had. And also, one day we were on holiday and we just realized we'd lost about 3,000 euros.
Good, I mean, it was extraordinary. God.
So, you know, even though places do say, oh, yeah, we asked for ID cards, we've found in our personal experience, I don't think they look incredibly closely.
Let's take this as an example then, Simon. So you walk into a telephone shop, you say, I'd like a new SIM card, I've lost mine, blah, 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 blah. And they say, whatever it is, they say, whether they ask for proof or they don't ask for proof, surely at that point they are liable. And if that guy goes back to that shop who handed out the SIM card and says, show me the proof, show me the evidence that I asked for that. And if they can't provide it, it's them that should be taken to the cleaners.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. And I have to say the banks are very good. I mean, in our case, and in this particular case of this guy in this article, he got all of his money back from the bank, because that's obviously, you know, that's a failure on both parts. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's completely down to the phone store to make sure that they're doing things properly and not just handing out copies of your SIM card willy-nilly, because otherwise you're completely open to this kind of thing. So,
amazing.
Yeah, another cautionary tale about how they can fleece you any way they can.
Good Lord. Right, that and other stories can be found just by Googling El País in English, and that's brilliant. We'll see you or Melissa back here next week. Same time, Simon. Thank you.
Fantastic.
All the best. Phil. Take care. Bye-bye.